This is the After Party, live with Kim McAllister. Pick a couch, grab a drink, and settle into the conversation.
Hello to you. It is the After Party Live on this Monday. Thank you for being here. You are very appreciated. And it's a hard one, I have to tell you, because we have some changes. So I'm going to fade out that music because it's way too happy for what I'm about to tell you. But here we are gathered together, and that makes me happy that that we still have each other and a place to hang out. So I will tell you that maybe you notice I'm by myself today, and John Daly is noticeably absent. He is stepping away from the After Party Live. It is, I have to say, a very sad day for me. I have to say there would not have been this show without John Daly. It was his idea. He decided that we should do this together, and I am very grateful for him and his technical genius and getting the show up and running and everything else. I looked forward to spending the hour every day with him and laughing and trading funny stories and sharing that time with him. But I will say that when he does something, he is all in. And it's a good thing, but also I think it can burn someone out fast. And I don't know if that plays a role in this, but I will tell you that it was an awful lot of work for not very much money, as is the way when a show is crowdfunded. That's just how it goes, right? I, especially living in the pricey Bay Area. So there may be other reasons, and I will tell you this, that he left you all a note, and that is on the community tab here on the After Party Live. The way you get to it, if you haven't been to it before, is you can click on, this is how I get to it, you click on the After Party circle logo, and then you'll see the tabs come up. Some, one says videos, one says community, and if you click on community, you'll find his note for you there if you're interested in reading it. But I'm sad. I have to tell you that I'm really sad. And it leaves me with a big decision. Do I continue the show by myself? Do I find another host? Do I let the show come to a natural end? I've kind of been rolling it around in my head all weekend long, deciding what to do. And unfortunately, the sudden nature of this whole thing doesn't leave me a lot of time to figure it out. So I do welcome your thoughts. What have you liked that has been a part of the After Party Live? What changes would you like to see? I'll always take your thoughts on this, and I appreciate it. Kim at the After Party Live is my email address, kim@theafterparty.live. And again, I value all opinions. Just this morning, I got a nice email from Lori, and so that was appreciated. But for now, I just have to go by the mantra, the show must go on. And I'm not sure if I'll go the full hour today. I am going to try, but I didn't want you to show up and have a blank screen. So we're going to forge through. And so now we'll shift gears and go with an interesting story. How about that? But you know what? Before we do that, let me just take a minute to see what you guys are saying in the chat, because I know a lot of you may have feelings about this as well. So yeah, Kay in Santa Rosa, I miss John already. I do too. You may miss him because it didn't start on time. And that's one of the things I say I would switch around, is that this show will start when the Mark Thompson show ends. It was very stressful for me trying to end one and get to the other one. And so I think a lot of people migrate over, and it's a natural progression. So that's one of the changes I would make. But if you disagree, tell me that. I would like to know. Shelly says, I've never commented. I'm a Daly fan. I'm so sorry he'll be leaving, and it makes me very sad. You and me both, Shelly. I'm telling you. Again, Walter, his note is in the community section here on the After Party Live. So, Mars says, take your time. Used to Mark running late when he doesn't have producers. Right. He tends to run long a bit anyway, and that's all right. So Wes, hopefully now you understand what's happening and you can read the note. But yeah, that's happening. Heather says, he's leaving the show. Check the message under the community tab. Absolutely. Julie, thank you for being here. Luis, your message that you sent over the weekend was really, really wonderful and helped me through some of these moments when you said that everything changes, right? Nothing ever stays the same. So I really appreciated your comments and thank you for the $5 super sticker. Can't tell you how much it means to me, a lot. Jim wants to know why. Maybe all the above. I don't know. But check the message that he left for you, the goodbye message. I don't want to put words in his mouth and say exactly why he left. So you'll have to read that message that he left you. I can just only tell you how it makes me feel, and that is that I feel really sad about it. So try not to cry. We'll get through it. It'll be okay. Deborah. I told myself I wasn't going to, and here it is anyway. I just feel so sad, but I'll be all right. It'll be okay. Deborah with a $10 super sticker. Thank you. You guys are so kind with your comments. I really appreciate it. The Lady Beatrice with a message. We are so sorry to see John go. Me too, clearly. But we understand he has some more important things to work out right now. So we hope you'll be able to recruit a new host. Okay, you would like a new host. Well, I know a lot of radio people, so it's possible. Let me see. Where can I find someone to work for hardly anything? I'll get back to you on that. The community tab, if you click the circle, the After Party Live circle logo, you'll see a bunch of different headings there, videos, live, etc. And there's one that says community, and that is where the note is located. Yeah, I'll miss him too, Deborah. Thank you for the nice note. That may have played a role in other things. So I hope he will come back to visit as well. We'll see how that works out. I don't know. But thank you for the note, Lady Beatrice. I would like to keep the show going because I like this extra hour to just hang out and do something fun. So hopefully we'll be able to retool it and make it work. Chris wants it to be a recap of the previous two shows. I'd like to give you something new because, and here's my feeling, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I'm thinking that if a lot of people will spend the 2 hours with Nikki and then the 2 hours with Mark, and by the time they get to the after party, they're feeling like maybe politicked out, trumped out type of thing. So we were trying to give you something that would kind of raise your spirits at the end of the day instead of sending you forth with more, you know, bad news and negativity. But maybe that was just my thoughts. I don't know. What do you say? The puppies and the kittens and the trivia. That's what you liked? Or that's what you didn't like. Okay. So John is stepping away from the show, Sandy. And again, I think it's multiple reasons, honestly. And some of it has to do with a lot of work and other obligations that he has. But some of it also may have to do with some feelings that he has. So, I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but please, please, please read his letter. Walnut Creek Adult Softball. Love the whole format. Quick change of light topics. All right. Judy wants the show to keep going. Would understand if I didn't. I had a thing up that said the show was on hiatus, which is why Mark thought that. I was going to take a few days, but then I figured that's not fair to you guys because a lot of people have contributed and a lot of people count on coming here and seeing the show. So I figured I kind of, you know, I felt like I have a duty to keep on going and the whole show must go on thing, right? Oh, so appreciate it, Elise, with your $50. Thank you so much for that. That you don't even understand how much that means. Just the support, not only the financial support, but the comment as well. I'm so grateful to you and you're so funny and kind and thank you for that. Maybe not every day. That's a possibility. Although I will say an hour seems to go by really fast. So it's just a matter of what type of show it will be. Will it be the same format? Will it be the same type of lighter news? Maybe will we get guests to come in and be interviewed? I've done a lot of that. So that would work out. We'll see how it goes. Keep it going, says Heather. It's the highlight of my day. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Political Fight Club at 1 p.m. Yeah. And again, Louise, thank you for the $5 and the comment and the very kind email. Can I get 5 different hosts, one for each day of the week? I don't know the answer. It's asking a lot for people to give that much time. But I will say, indeed, John Watson, I will also miss Satan. Yes. And John Daly, just spending time with John Daly as well. Karen says, John is an amazing guy. He will definitely be missed. No more Archie. Maybe we'll get an Archie update, even via email. We'll see. I don't know. Trevor in Hollywood with a $25 super sticker, and I'm so grateful for that. Kim, please keep the show going. We have all loved you for years, and you're really the hardest working woman on YouTube. Thank you. Thank you for the nice words. Really, really kind. Nice. Vilma, look for possibly another co-host. I don't participate much because it's the afternoon. I get things done, but love you and your show. Thank you for that. We're deciding right now, as a matter of fact. It's been one of those days, and I don't even have mascara on because I thought, oh, if I cry, it's going to be running down my face. So that's just the way it is. Doug, here, oh, thank you. Oh, that's, oh, I didn't think he was boring. I thought he was pretty good, but I hear you, and I hear what you're trying to say, so I appreciate the comment. Gordon says it'd be okay if we wanted to start the show at 1:30. I have a kid pickup, though, mostly at schools, bumping into that 2 o'clock hour, so at the timing of it is different. But maybe we'll change the time to kind of give people more of a definite start time. Hopefully, Mark Thompson show will be over by the time whatever new time we pick comes on. SJ Lola, I thought so too. I would love to do guests from the listening audience. You know how much I love the conversation and how I miss that. And for a long time, I tried to do this, and I'm going to do it right now, as a matter of fact, which is put the link to the show for anyone that wanted to call in. So I have done that on Nikki's show before, and I would absolutely love to talk to people. That would be great. I'll hug you right back, Julie. Thank you for that. I'm not going to cry. I already blew it. I said I wasn't going to cry, and I did. It's really emotional, you know, and you have a good friend, and you feel like, not necessarily the friendship, but the working relationship is coming to an end. And I'm sure you've all been that, you know, gone through that before. thank you, Judy. No waterproof mascara today for you either. What's interesting is I actually couldn't find it, and then I thought, well, instead of going and looking for it, it's probably a sign I shouldn't wear any, right? Thank you for the hugs. I think he's okay. I think he's doing what he needs to do for himself, and I applaud that. You know, people need to put up boundaries and do what they need to do for themselves. And if that's the way he wants to, if that's what he needs to do, then I say, good, take care of yourself, and, you know, we'll take care of the show. So, oh, Julie wants to know about Julia. Are you talking about the band competition over the weekend? Because that was kind of fun. I still don't understand the whole concept of drumline, because I thought it was just people beating on drums, but apparently it's all kinds of things. It's like marimbas and vibraphones and xylophones and gongs, and it's kind of this new agey thing that she's involved in. But yeah, Julia went to a drumline competition over the weekend in Livermore, which I drove to, and their Petaluma High School group won first place in their division. So pretty proud of them. It's their second win. So again, I still don't understand exactly what's going on with this kind of interpretive new age dance thing, but I'm really glad that she found her place. It makes me so happy to feel like she found her thing. She's loving band. Next year, she's going to take 2 band classes. She's going to be the drum major, where she gets to wear the Scottish kilt and lead the band. She wants to be the band president. Like, she's into it. So I'm just proud that she's and happy and relieved, you know, when they're a freshman, they go into high school and they don't know what's going to happen, right? So that she managed to find her a place that she feels accepted and welcome, and that she's thriving. I say good, very good. If no new host, says Jim, perhaps do some interviews. We could do that. I've already talked to Pat Thurston. How funny that you would mention my friend Pat Thurston. I did talk to her, but she's working at a radio station in San Francisco and renovating a house, and she's pretty busy, so I don't think she'll be able to do it. But maybe I'll have her on at some point. Thank you so much for the nice comments, though, you guys. I don't know if I'll be able to read them all right now, but I really, really am appreciative of all the kind words. So again, please email me if you can. If you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, it's kim@theafterparty.live. Huge, huge thank you to the lady Beatrice with the $5 super sticker who wants the show to continue. we have your back, and may Archie still get his fancy feast. Ron Owens would be a really good choice, except for He's still suffering from Parkinson's, and he doesn't feel confident in his voice. And so I don't think that's going to be an option, but I would just be delighted to have him come on the show. That he's kind of stepped back from that at this point. Yeah. Heather says this show is a great little palate cleanser after the reality we have to deal with. And that was kind of what I was hoping it would be, you know, a place free mostly from negativity and kind of just some interesting stories that maybe you wouldn't find if you're clicking on the normal websites that people would click on, but that are all still true, not fake news, right? Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, Doug with a $5 super sticker. So appreciated. Really, really nice. Let's see. I'm going to make sure that there's no one that I haven't thanked for that. A $10 super sticker from Vilma. Thank you so much. I just love you. Lady Beatrice for $5. So, so nice. Doug for $5 as well. Susie Q throwing down $10. Thank you so much for that super sticker. Really appreciate it. And SJ Lola for $10 as well. Really, really kind. And again, it was really great to see you at the meetup. Jim Slayton for $5 as well. So thank you guys so much for contributing as you always do. Wes and Luis and Deborah and Elise as well. So nice of you guys. All right. Shall we now, if we're done feeling the sad blues, which I don't think I'll be done with for a while, but let's try to move on to the show and get you guys a little bit of a palate cleanser, which is why you came anyway, right? Okay. So the first story that I have for you today is about the way that we need to change things as far as what we eat. And we've all heard the story by now that eating dairy meat, like cow meat, this type of meat that we eat is not good for the environment, right? And so, what do you think about this? Enter in python. Apparently, this is better for the environment. I don't know if I want to eat it, but yes, it is. Apparently, we need a better source of sustainable meat. And so, in order to not make the environment worse by raising livestock, scientists are searching for new ways to feed and satisfy a growing human population. And one source, apparently, could come from pythons. Pythons, they say, offer a low-emission source of protein that, according to a study published this month in the journal Scientific Reports. So pythons aren't venomous. They're big. They're about reaching lengths of 20 feet or more in some cases. And the girth of the python apparently comes with a lot of white meat that is high in protein. In some Southeast Asian countries, it's considered a delicacy, right? The practice, apparently, of keeping large quantities of snakes for meat is growing. Farmed snakes are typically set up in these large barns surrounded by sun traps that help snakes bask in the sun. And so, it seems, these snake farms could offer a solution in regions where python farming has already begun to expand in recent decades. Climate change, disease, diminishing natural resources, all putting pressure on conventional livestock and plant crops, with dire effects in some cases, especially low-income countries where there's an acute protein deficiency. And so scientists from Vietnam, Australia, England, South Africa looked at more than 4,600 pythons on two commercial python farms in Thailand and Vietnam. They compared two species, the reticulated python, say it again, reticulated python, and the Burmese python. And they tested the effects of different food regimes. They were fed a mixture of locally sourced food, including, at this point, pork byproducts, fish pellets, and rodents. The baby pythons also ate sausages made of waste protein from meat and fish offcuts. Sounds super gross. But the sausages led to faster growth without any impacts on health. So, I guess they're saying snake farms can effectively convert a lot of agricultural waste into protein and produce relatively little waste of their own. Are you going to eat python? Tastes like chicken? I don't know. I'm not interested in a python salad, but maybe that's the way we have to go. I kind of feel bad. Look at his little face. And I don't even like snakes. I don't know. And here we go with more factory farming, right? Is that what we want? I don't know. All right. That was kind of an animal story, but let's get into our animal segment because I have one for you. Oh, yes, I do. There was a cow that interrupted a wedding at just the right time, I might add. And I have some video for you. Hopefully it's not too long. Here we go.
You know how in the movies, someone's always piping up to stop the wedding. Well, this is the bovine version of that. Just as the officiant uttered the any objection line.
In order to proceed, I must now ask if any person here present.
Who invited the cow? The cow chimed in from the neighboring field at this English country wedding where Amy and Harry Millard tied the knot.
All of a sudden, it kind of like broke the tension.
It was the most perfect timing.
Perfect because the cow refused to forever hold its peace a second time.
If any person here present knows of any lawful impediment.
You can't expect a cow to enunciate like a donkey.
I object!
I object!
But even the newlyweds don't object to what the bride called one of the magical moments of the day. The officiant finally got through the objection part.
You should declare it now. Non-bovine only.
Meanwhile, the groom, a teacher, is being teased by his students.
Oh, they're just mooing.
It was a moving ceremony destined to be milked for years. Genimos, CNN, New York.
And our thanks to CNN for that show or that report. It's really
Donuts
funny.
Is his name.
No,
and
no,
his
wait,
claim
wait,
to
stop.
Fame.
Stop. Oh. No. Sorry about that. That's what happens when you're by yourself and you don't have a John Daly hanging by your side, right? But that's pretty funny. That cow at the very right moment. Pretty good stuff. All right, let's talk about. No, I'm not saying something bad. All right, let's talk about a dick dick. Yeah, it's a dick dick. Look at it was just born. It's very cute. This little dick dick was just born at the San Diego Zoo. What's a dick dick, you ask? It's D-I-K-D-I-K, all right? This little dick dick is the world's smallest species of antelope. How cute is that thing? The zoo said the female calf born to parents Chloe and Shaggy is called Abeba, which means flower. And Amharic, which is Ethiopian Semitic language. Dick dicks are the world's smallest antelopes. They grow to weigh between 6 to 13 pounds only. They're known for their long, flexible snouts, which cool the harsh African air before it reaches their lungs. Very cute. This little dick dick has been seen prancing around with the occasional case of the zoomies and running around. And I have a picture of her with her parents as well. Look how tiny they are with their big eyes. Oh, so cute. Well, from teeny, 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 tiny to massive, this large antlered deer, look at that, was once called Ireland its home. Look at the 12-foot antlers on that deer. Imagine hauling those around. The species clocks in at 6.5 feet tall, weighs more than 1,500 pounds. The males had antlers over 12 feet wide. Just for comparison, nowadays elk have antlers that are 4 feet across, and those are pretty big, right? So look at these, 12 feet. The enormous Ice Age mammals were the largest deer in Europe, and they are primarily associated with Ireland, but they have been found from the current western edge of the continent, east toward Russia's Lake Baikal. There's a 17,000-year-old cave painting in southern France that shows a deer with enormous antlers like this that they think could be what they're calling Megaloceros. They've also uncovered other specimens in Asia and North Africa, but Megaloceros was first uncovered in a bog in Ireland, described scientifically in the 1690s. Fossils, though, continue to be found all over Ireland. So I just thought that was so interesting. These giant, giant deer. Megaloceros apparently translates into giant deer. So thank you for that. And I know I'm forgetting someone that sponsored this segment, but I will get you tomorrow, I promise. As you can see, a lot going on and a lot to think about. So thank you for that. If you could please click the like button while we're thinking of it, and click the subscribe button as well if you haven't already, I would appreciate it. If you want to share the show on Facebook and X, that's great too. And we appreciate any way that we can grow this show and keep it rocking and rolling. I think that's what we're going to do. That's right. Did you hear about these strange sea creatures that are washing up on beaches around California and the Bay Area? This is a story out of SF Gate. It's so pretty. If you look at the picture and the translucence of it, you know, and they've got a lot of colors and it looks like a rainbow almost. But these are peculiar sea creatures. I've seen this happen before as well. They say these sea creatures are unusual. They're called Velella Velella is their name. Velella Velella. Hundreds of thousands of them. Gelatinous. Also called wind sailors is what they're more commonly called, drifted ashore over the weekend on Trinidad State Beach. They are kind of hard to spot, considering their flashy blue colors and their sail-like fins, which catch the wind and allow colonies to travel over very long distances. So Trinidad State Beach is about 300 miles north of San Francisco. And a lot of them have popped up there. However, I've seen these on a lot of different beaches. I don't know if you have as well, but look at them all. It's crazy how many there are. I'll show you a picture of the mass washing up of these creatures along the coast there at the beach. And here's what it looks like. You can see how the size of them compared to a Swiss Army knife. So they're really little, but they're also really cool looking as well. So these creatures have washed up. It's been the highest year on record for sea surface temperature, and winter temperatures have been high. So they've had the opportunity to bloom. And with the amount of wind that we're having, they're getting blown on shore is what they're thinking. So, I mean, it's sad to see them blow up on shore, but they're interesting. They look somewhat like jellyfish. Apparently they're related to the Portuguese man of war. They have these dangling tentacles they use to catch prey and no means of swimming or getting transported other than catching on the wind and, you know, sailing around on the wind. They float at the surface of the water. Each sail represents not just one, but a colony of organisms with individuals that are specialized for different functions, including feeding, reproduction, and defense. Apparently, they all work together to create a happy little colony. Love it. Look at that. Scientists have also found something interesting in space, an old galaxy. And they found it because of a speck of light that was glimpsed by the Hubble. And they say they saw the light. What it really is, it's an enormous old galaxy. Just a couple of years ago, they called it GZ9P3. It appears as a single point of light through the Hubble Space Telescope. Now they say they've revealed it's one of the oldest galaxies ever discovered. And the finding owes itself to the Hubble's younger sibling, the James Webb Telescope. The old galaxy here was just 510 million years after the Big Bang, during the infancy of the universe, according to scientists, which is now 13.8 billion years old. So they caught the flash of light at 510 million years. The team researching this discovered that, like other early galaxies seen by the James Webb Telescope, this one is far more massive and mature than expected for a galaxy in the infant universe. During an ancient time period in which it's been spotted, it already appears to contain several billion stars. The team discovered, like many other galaxies seen by this, it was massive. And it talks about comes to basically the conundrum of how these early galaxies grew to become massive so quickly. And hopefully what's now a real puzzle, GZ93P, because it's 10 times more massive than other galaxies that they've seen in similar eras of the universe's history. But it may be something that helps us learn more. So this is something under study. It's very interesting, to me, at least. Here's an interesting tidbit as well. It appears, and this, I don't know if this surprises you like it does me, but nearly 30% of Gen Z women identify as LGBTQ. This information comes from a Gallup survey. Women ages 18 to 26 were more than twice as likely to identify as LGBTQ than their counterparts that are millennials. Do you think maybe that because it's more accepted now, that more people are like, oh, it's not that big of a deal if I feel this way? You know, I'm not forced to live my life as something I'm not. I don't know. The percentage of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer adults in the United States is increasing, reaching an all-time high of 7.6 in 2023. This according to this Gallup report. If they break it down by gender, the survey of 12,000 people 18 and older across the country found women were nearly twice as likely as men to identify as LGBTQ. Almost 30% of Gen Z women identify as LGBTQ, most as bisexual. That's where a lot of the growth, they say, seems to be happening. It's interesting, looking at all generations, 8.5% of women and 4.7% of men identify as LGBTQ. The survey reported margins of sampling error plus or minus 4 percentage points among the respondents. But if you look at each generation, it gets kind of interesting. The three younger generations surveyed, Gen Z, Millennials, and Gen X, women are more likely than men to identify as LGBTQ. The oldest two generations, Baby Boomers and the Silent Generation, it's reversed. The breakdown by gender does not account for non-binary respondents, which represented 1% of those surveyed. The group most likely to identify as LGBTQ by far, Gen Z. That's women 18 to 26, 28.5% of whom identified as LGBTQ in that survey. 20.7% of them as bisexual, 5.4% as lesbians. Gen Z women were nearly three times more likely than Gen Z men to identify as LGBTQ. So it's kind of interesting when you look at a breakdown of how people are feeling. And I have to say, I think it's because it's more accepted. And I applaud people for being who they are and being able to say it and be proud of it. But speaking of same-sex relationships, there's a study I caught, and I've heard this before, right? We've known that the capability for this exists, but now a new study shows that new technology may enable embryos with genes from two men. And that would mean men in same-sex relationships could have a child genetically related to both dads. It wouldn't be just one dad who's the biological dad. It would be both dads being the biological dad. So this technology uses skin cells from one person to alter the genetics of a donated egg. This in the journal Science Advances, reported on Friday. The egg would then be fertilized by a sperm cell to create a viable embryo containing the combined genetics of the skin donor and the sperm donor. It would help same-sex couples produce their own child, also possibly help women who aren't able to produce viable eggs due to advanced age, cancer treatment, or other causes. And the author of the study, Shukrat Milyatipov, from Oregon's Health and Science University Center for Embryonic Cell and Gene Therapy, says the goal is to produce eggs for patients who don't have their own eggs, right? A lot of women have to use donor eggs, but if they took some skin from the mother who is having to use a donor egg, it could be partially biologically hers as well. And to some people, that's really important. The same technique that researchers famously used in 1996 to clone a sheep in Scotland named Dolly, remember her? is being used in this case. So researchers created a clone of one parent while focusing on creating embryos with genetics drawn from both parents. Interesting. So far, they've done it in mouse experiments, not human experiments. They stripped a mouse egg of its nucleus and transplanted the nucleus of a mouse skin cell into the mouse egg, then implanted the skin cell nucleus to discard half of its chromosomes, similar to cells dividing, you know, as happens in our process. And then they fertilized the new egg with sperm using in vitro, which resulted in a healthy embryo with two sets of chromosomes equally donated by two parents. They're skipping, they say, the whole step of cell reprogramming. And they say the advantage of this technique is it avoids a long culture time that it takes to reprogram a cell. A lot of deleterious genetic and epigenetic changes can happen doing that. And so this could be a more healthy way to do it. And they do say this, it will be years before this technique could be available for humans. There's still a lot of work they've got to do to understand how the chromosomes pair, how they divide, and what reproduction will actually happen here. But so far, they say it looks pretty promising. So there you go. Let's talk about this. This is particularly for me today. I don't know. There's a California startup. It's called Simple Closure. And it's turned business failures, specifically tech failures, into a business. And what they do is a very lucrative business, by the way. If your startup or your company needs to wind down and close up shop, they come in and advise you on everything from filing regulatory paperwork, sending out final paychecks. And they say with so many tech startups shutting down, they're doing huge business. They launched publicly in September. Simple Closure announces in late February it closed on a $4 million fundraising round. And that, they say, is a sign that investors see more startup shutdowns on the horizon. That's not what we want to see. But, you know, as Luis mentioned to me earlier, everything changes, right? Nothing lasts forever. So they've mainly dealt with software companies and other tech startups, and they've helped shut down ventures with tens of millions of dollars in funding. They say the cyclical nature of business and the high risk of running a startup mean a lot of companies are always closing. The amount of volume they have is very high. The story's painful. They're speaking to founders every day, multiple times a day. A lot of venture capital funding may be drying up as interest rates rose, and that made tech investment a little bit more difficult. So without fresh cash, startups have to get to the break even earlier, or they have to call it quits even earlier. So Simple Closure, doing really well. What does that say about the state of the tech economy? I think I can fit in another science story because I think this is a really positive one. And I always like a positive story. At a time when we're hearing all these horrible things politically, there's an analysis that shows more Americans have faith in science than don't, right? And we've seen people question vaccines and science and all kinds of things. The proportion of Americans with a low level of trust in scientific expertise did rise from 3% in 2016 to 13% in 2020. All right. That's from John Miller. He's a research scientist emeritus at the Center for Political Studies at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. But he says the increase was more than matched by a rise in the proportion of Americans with a high level of trust in scientific expertise. That went from 23% to 58%. We saw Donald Trump attack Dr. Fauci and other medical experts, right? Apparently, though critics condemned the Trump administration's views and actions on topics like climate change, environmental protection, COVID, all of this, even conservative Republicans' trust in science rose more than distrust between 2016 and 2020. Thank the ever-loving good Lord that people have some good sense. study published recently in the journal Science and Public Policy evaluated changes between 2016 and 2020. So sometimes you see the people that are such science deniers, right? Climate change deniers, vaccine anti-vaxxers, what have you. And it's easy to just focus on that and go, look at all the people. You see all the people that are Trump supporters and you think maybe they're all feeling the same way. But at least there's some, I don't know, more people are reasonable and thoughtful and intelligent and able to look at science and see that there's a benefit and that, you know, there's a confidence in science that we have. Scientists don't know everything, right? But that we approach things in a scientific manner and use some logic when we're making our opinions, I have to say, it does give me faith that the proportion of Americans with a low level of trust in scientific expertise is less than those that trust science. So thank goodness for that. I'm not going to say thank goodness for small favors because I think that's actually a pretty big favor. Yeah. I will finish it with a story back to our snakes again about why Ireland doesn't have snakes. It's a perfect way to wrap up this show. Apparently, legend has it, back in the 5th century, St. Patrick exterminated Ireland's snakes by driving them into the sea. And apparently he did a pretty good job because there aren't any snakes in Ireland. Except there never were snakes in Ireland. You see how that works? So if snakes can be found almost everywhere else in the world, from Australia to the Arctic Circle, why not Ireland? What makes it so special? Well, of course, you say, yes, it's an island, right? The Irish Sea is 50 plus miles wide, so it would be a really long swim for a land animal. A sea snake might have an easier time of it, which is what we see in Hawaii, but sea snakes live in warm tropical waters, not the chilly, chilly Atlantic. Well, you might be thinking the UK has snakes and it's an island, but apparently for a really long time, neither Britain nor Ireland were home to snakes. The Ice Age made the islands inhospitable to reptiles, whose cold-blooded bodies need heat from surroundings to function. The glaciers retreated 10,000 years ago, exposing a land bridge between Europe and Britain, and another between Britain and Ireland, allowing easy passage to the islands. Melting glaciers drowned Ireland's land bridge 8,500 years ago, but Britain stayed on for another 2,000 years. So animals from Europe had more time to set foot in the UK or slither in. And even then, only 3 snake species managed to set themselves up in Britain. None of the 3 felt compelled to keep moving toward Ireland. So that is why. And when they look at fossil records, they don't see any snakes were ever in Ireland. Other islands that don't have snakes, according to this article in Popular Science, include New Zealand, Hawaii, which we discovered recently on this show, because I thought there were no snakes in Hawaii either. There are sea snakes there, and there may have been a snake brought in by someone, but I think they stamped it out rather quickly. Greenland, Iceland, and Antarctica. But the researchers say the absence of snakes seems pretty miraculous, given the global pet trade and the serpent's potential to become very invasive. In Guam, they have a snake that's so invasive that it's ruined their island's native bird and lizard populations. That's the invasive brown tree snake. So they're taking desperate measures to try to get them out. But again, tropical island, right? So when you hear they drove the snakes out of Ireland, yeah. They were never in Ireland. No, that never happened. Some people to thank as we wind down the show. And that includes, let's see. I probably rolled through these all over again if it's okay with you. But I'll start with Dallas, who throws down a $25 super sticker. I'm really grateful. Thank you very much for that. Mo Direct with a $2 super sticker, bringing the low profile stories for us to hear. Trying to, you know, bring up the spirits after the day. Jim Slayton with a $5 super sticker. We have SJ Lola for $10. Susie Q for $10 as well. Doug for $5. The Lady Beatrice for $5, Vilma for $10, Trevor for $25, Luis for $5, Elise for $50, Deborah for $10, Luis for another 5, and Wes for 10. Thank you so, so, so much for all the support. And again, please let me know how you want the show to proceed. Give me your thoughts and I'll put them all together and roll them around and see what we can come up with. Kim@theafterparty.live. I am so thankful that you guys joined me for the show today. I know it's a rough one to get through a little bit, but hopefully we'll keep going and make our way through. And I'm just very grateful. So at the end, what I love to do is put up your goodbye messages for the day. And it's really hard for me to do that and the pictures at the same time, but I'm going to give it a shot. We'll see how I do. I will see you back here tomorrow. I'm going to have another show for you. I don't know what it's going to be like, but we're going to have it. And I'm very thankful to you guys for sticking with me on the show. All right. Have a really good afternoon. Have a great rest of your day. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Nikki Maduro show at 9 a.m., followed by the Mark Thompson show. And again, this show will start when the Mark Thompson show ends. And so I'll see you back here on the After Party Live as well. Thanks, you guys. Have a good day.